life, God has got great strategy for you and I. This recent weeks, we've been talking about the road to resurrection. Miss Liz is here somewhere. There she is. Miss Liz, would you come quickly? Thank you so much. She's going to read some scriptures. I got introduced to Liz just today, and I'm so thankful I got an opportunity to visit with her. She's going to read our scriptures for today. Thank you so much.
Do you now believe? Jesus replied, a time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world.
Thank you, Liz. Let's just bow and pray right now. Lord, we just thank you so much for all that you have been doing here among us today, the celebration of your triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem and the proof of the fact of your kingship. And we thank you so much today that you are leading us and guiding us in the days and months coming. In Jesus' name we pray. So here we are as we look at the road to resurrection. The road to resurrection, the verses that Miss Liz read here this morning followed up after Jesus had been in Jerusalem for a while. We sang Hosanna, Hosanna, waving palm branches. Jesus came in and was celebrated as the King, rightly so, the King of Kings, the King of Israel, the King of the spiritual household of Israel. And days went by in that beginning of that week, as Sister Pam so eloquently shared with us today about what Jesus experienced that day. But that time frame from the time of his entry into Jerusalem up to Good Friday, the crucifixion, was a story in itself, was a happenings of all sorts. And during this time, Jesus gave instruction to his disciples on how to move forward, what you will experience on this road to the resurrection. And each of us will have our own resurrection. But the road of resurrection, as we stated last week, is an invitation for you to partner with God. It's an invitation for you to walk with God on a journey through life. It's an invitation for you to journey into this joy-filled life. Yes, joy-filled. I didn't say happiness-filled. I didn't say blissful. But there is a difference in joy and happiness, isn't there? Jesus promises us that in the midst of difficulty, hardship, and trial, that you can still and you will still have and experience the joy of the Lord as your strength. And so he gives us an invitation on this road to resurrection to walk with him into the joy-filled life. It's a journey of a lifetime, really, and it includes sorrows and joys. It includes excitement and suffering and a lot of pain and celebration. Quite contrasting events going on this road to resurrection. This is a journey the Father has promised to ever be with you during this time and bring you into breakthrough. There will be times, no doubt, when you feel like you've come to a dead end, and maybe those dead ends were self-inflicted. But oftentimes the dead ends are really not dead ends, but they're just moments that have not yet experienced breakthrough. God wants to bring breakthrough into your life as you walk with him and put your faith and confidence in him. Along this road, you will find not just one resurrection, but many resurrections. Resurrections of life, resurrections in relationships, resurrections of hope and of dreams and aspirations, all because of the hope presented by Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, Peter says, to this road to resurrection, this is what you have been called to. That is because Christ suffered for you, leaving us this example that we should do what? Follow in his steps. So what happens to Jesus oftentimes happens to us. What Jesus experiences in his life and his journey on this earth, oftentimes we experience something similar to that, do we not? Certainly we do. And into this journey, into this road to resurrection, we have been called. The Lord knows your name. You know that? He speaks your name and he's calling you. He knows you by name. He knows you personally. And that's so encouraging to us. And as we go on this road, we see Jesus telling the disciples here in John 16. He says, you know, this time is coming soon when you're just going to leave me alone. You're going to scatter. You're not going to have anything to do with me. But I want you to know, I am not alone. I am not alone. And then he says, in me, he says in the same verse, he says, take heart, because in this world you will have trouble, but in me you will have peace. So take courage, take confidence, because I have overcome the world. Now Jesus says in those words, he says, in the world you will have trouble, and in me you will have peace. Each of those phrases are from the same original Greek. So God is telling us that it's just as sure as you're going to have trouble in the world, you can just as sure know that you can have peace in Jesus Christ today. You can rest in him in the time when there's hardship and trial and challenges coming facing you. And so I want to give you a few questions to examine whether you're prepared for this road to resurrection or not. I have five different questions to ask in preparation. I think we'll only cover two or three of them today. Maybe not even that many. But we'll get at it right now. The first one, as we look at how to prepare for this road to resurrection, is ask yourself, do I trust in him? Do I trust in him? Is my trust in him? Oh, you know, oftentimes we have trust in things, and that sometimes it's just a surface thing. Until things break, then we realize, well, no, I trusted the wrong thing. But you can actually put faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and it will make all the difference in the world. Just recently, on a little getaway vacation, Vicki and I were down at the Gulf Shores, and we were able to, you know, walk along the beautiful sugar sands of the Gulf Shores and walk in the water. Yeah, just walked in the water because it was like 49 degree water temp. It wasn't swimming temperature. And so we took off our shoes and socks and had our shorts going, and we were just kind of walking along the shore. And I could say to you that I was in the Gulf of Mexico. That was in the Gulf of Mexico. But you see, God has different plans for us that he says, if you will come in me before you get into the world, I can take you deeper. I can take you a lot farther. It's very important that we put our trust in Jesus, because he is ever the one to reveal himself and prove himself to us. And so God wants you to know that in him we can have peace, even if we're in the deepest, darkest trouble. And by the name of James Cameron, designed a submersible that he climbed into some years ago and maneuvered that device down to the deepest depth that anybody had ever experienced, 35,756 feet below sea level, almost 7 miles deep. And saw things that no eye had ever seen before, took pictures of creatures that nobody had ever seen before, bacteria and so on that had not been experienced on the surface of the ocean or anywhere on land. But here was James Cameron inside a vessel, was able to go and explore to the deepest depths that anybody could have gone. You know, I just don't understand how anybody can really understand God, what there is about him, unless you are really in Christ Jesus. Unless you really put your faith or confidence in who he is and what he has done, we're just scratching the surface. We're just walking along the shore. And so the Lord is calling us as we walk on this road to resurrection. He wants to help you discover stuff about him, that if you will put your faith in him and enter into him and be part of him, he comes into you, I in me, and you in me, and I in you. So we exchange each other. We're in each other that way. And once I put my trust in him so that all of my being is resting in who he is, I am encased by him. I am a part of who he is. Suddenly I begin to know deeper things about God that I never thought possible. I understand things that just didn't make sense before, but now all of a sudden things begin to come into clarity because I'm in Christ Jesus and I can go deep in him. And as you're on this road to resurrection, there will be times when you will need to go deep, and other times when you're going to want to go deep. When you reach for a place of security, a place of rest, a place of protection, you can enter into Jesus Christ and know that He will be there with you and He will take you to the deepest parts of Himself. Praise God for that. And so trust in Him. Is your trust in Him or do you just know about Him? Do you have a familiarity with Jesus Christ? I don't think so. I think most of us in this house today can say, I know Jesus personally. I've come to Him and I've talked to Him about my life and the disappointments and the brokenness that's been going on in my life, the things that are broken that I can't fix. And He's told me, I can fix that. I can take care of that. And so you've come to know Jesus and you've put your trust in Him. I challenge you now with that faith and that confidence, that trust in Jesus, let's go deep. If you haven't gone deep before, the season has come for you to go deeper still. If you have gone deep, well, hey, there's more to it. Ask James Cameron. There's a lot of depth there. And you talk to Jesus, He says, I got a lot of deep in me. Yes, sir. I think the psalmist says that at the sound of His water spouts, I know that deep calls unto deep. In other words, the deepest part of God is reaching for that deep part of you. That part that you sometimes see, people just don't understand me. How is it people just don't get me? I just feel like I'm kind of like an extra cog on the wheel. But you know what? I want to reassure you that God sees you and He gets you. He understands you. He climbs inside of you and goes into those deep parts where you know you have been genuinely, authentically interested in God. And Jesus sees that. And He knows that. And so today I just want to encourage you to put your trust in Him. He'll not forsake you. He'll not fail you. As you put your trust in Him and rest in Him, as we've heard explained here in situations similar to what Sister Glenda's experiencing, God is able and faithful to keep you through times like that as we just trust in Him. The second question of preparation on this road to resurrection is, do I feed on truth? Do I feed on what is true? Do I feed on what is true? Satan is out in this world to destroy truth, to twist it, distort it. This world has become, as a result, full of lies and distortions and perversions. But along this way, God has provided us some evidences that we as individuals of faith need to feed on. We just need to tell ourselves and listen to the truth. I'm talking about not just the truth in the news, but the scriptural truth as well. To tell yourself the truth about your relationship with God, that you know who you are as a result of what He's done and your faith in Him, that He is who He says. This is a big in me. He is who He says He is, and He has done what He said He would do. Praise God. Tell yourself those words from time to time. He is who He says He is. We look in the book of Acts. I don't think I gave that to our tech team today. But let's take a look at Acts chapter 1. The writer of the book of Luke is the same writer of the book of Acts as we understand it. And Luke, the physician who wrote the book of the Gospel of Luke, says in Acts chapter 1, if I may read that for you, we do have it. Oh, we do. How glorious is that? In my former book, that's referring to the Gospel of Luke, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach. All that Jesus did what? He began. So the Gospel is about all that Jesus began to do until the day He was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles He had chosen, after His suffering, He presented Himself to them and gave what? Many convincing proofs that He was alive. Praise God. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Now, here's a guy who's a contemporary of the Apostle Paul. I don't know if he met Jesus personally or not. Perhaps he did. But he begins to share the story here. He says, everything I know about what Jesus began to do, I've shared in the previous book. And now I'm sharing with you all the other things that he did as a result of his death, burial, and resurrection. What is that? That's firsthand knowledge. Firsthand knowledge. And so what was real to Luke back then is still real today. What Luke experienced and what he testified about is still real today. Tell yourself the truth. Believe the truth today that Jesus was a historical figure, but he was also the Son of God made flesh. He came to the earth for the purpose of saving you and I. Hey, that's all good news. And so Jesus is who he says he is. So the life of Christ is affirmed by historical accounts as well as records of the witnesses like Luke. And then there's Paul and apostles like them. You can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, mark it down, verse 1 through 5. Paul goes on and explains how he appeared. Jesus appeared unto many, up to 500 at one time. Each of those had a personal experience with Jesus Christ. Jesus did live a good life on this earth. The historical record is true that he lived and died on this earth as described in the Bible. The witness of the testimony of the witnesses is true, and they share it with us today. And just as much as we understand it today, we understand that these people not just devised a story, but they told the facts and believed them so much that they were willing to die for what they had known. They were willing to put their life on the line because of what they knew about Jesus Christ. Nobody could take that from them. It had been burned into their mind and into their heart that Jesus was real and he did do what he said he would do. And so tell yourself the truth with many convincing proofs is what the book of Acts through Luke tells us. And so Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, whatsoever, brethren and sisters, whatsoever things are true and honest and good report, think on these things. Because you're living in a world that's polluted. It discredits anything that is of God and goodness and kindness. And so absolutely grab a hold of and feed on the truth, the scriptural truth that Jesus has come in the flesh to die for you. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Let's say that over here. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Amen. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Amen. Let's do it again. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Amen. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Amen. Amen says, so be it. It is true. So tell yourself the truth, because in times of trial, times of confusion, you need to know what really is rock solid truth and what will carry you through. Praise God. Third point real quickly is this. To know that he knows. Know that he knows. Do you know that he knows? In Acts chapter 16, we read those scriptures, and then two chapters later, we see Jesus has left the upper room and he's prayed a prayer for his disciples, and now he's been arrested by the chief priests and elders of the religious organization of the day. And here comes Judas with 600 soldiers trying to capture Jesus. I'm not sure why 600, but they really thought he might put up a fight. But not so. What does it say in John chapter 18, verse 4? It says, Jesus knowing, verse 4, Jesus knowing all that was going to happen to him. Did you hear that? Jesus knew all that was going to happen to him. And then what happened? He stayed the course. He knew what was going on, and he also knew why it was going on. He understood what was going on, and he understood why it was happening, and he was faithful to the course. You know, Jesus knows what's going on in my life. He understands my questions, my concerns. He understands that I fail him from time to time. He understands that, and he still loves me. He really does. This morning, I just heard a story. There was a couple that was having a disagreement at home. They got into a heated argument on Saturday night. It was just like they could not face each other anymore. So, because they were just all so up in arms over a disagreement. And so that night, they said, all right, you separate. And so they both went to separate bedrooms and opposite ends of the house and slept through the night, let the sun go down on their wrath. Got up the next morning, and the wife was in the kitchen fixing stuff. busily chopping potatoes or cracking eggs. You can just imagine what she might have been doing in the kitchen, but she was kind of, you know, the spoons were not just gently put down. They were clanging in the sink. And the man comes sauntering into the kitchen. He stands by the door, watches her for a while, and then steps over near her and stands beside her and says, "I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry." The wife gives him the response he wasn't expecting. "Oh, I know why you're looking for forgiveness. You're wanting anointing on that message you're going to preach on Sunday morning." Oh, that one took me right to where I live. But you see, the point of that story is Jesus doesn't care why you come to him and ask for forgiveness. He knows our lot. He knows what we struggle with. He knows the experiences we have in this life. And he just came here to give you a lift. Came here to give you a life. He came here to give you a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. So he wants you to know that he is able. The book of Job, the one who in the Old Testament was tested beyond measure and lost family members and all of his wealth. He said, "He knows. He knows the way I take. He knows the road that I'm on. He knows the things that have happened in my life. Some of them were of my own making, and some of them I had no choice in the matter. But he understands. He knows the way I take." And on this road to resurrection that you're walking, I don't know where you are in your pathway. I don't know what you're going to experience or what you have experienced so far. But I just want to encourage you to know again that there is a God who loves you and that he cares about you, and he knows where you hurt. He knows what brings you joy. He knows what brings satisfaction, and he offers himself to you today. Would you stand with me right now? Father, we just thank you today for the blessing of the blood of Jesus Christ, that you have given yourself on our behalf, who that for the joy that was set before him, you endured the cross and you gave up yourself for us, so that you might have a bride that worships you freely. And so today we invite you to have your way in this service and in our lives. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. God bless you.